is omnipresent. Or let's put it a different way, God is present everywhere. The entire essence of God. And that is our first important statement. The entire essence, the entire being of God. God is all-powerful everywhere on earth and in the universe and at all times. God's entire essence is present everywhere. Now, basically, we've got three kinds of presence, and they are three. Omnipresence, God is present everywhere. But we ought to distinguish two other presences. Number one, the presence of man is local. We can be at only one place at one time. As a matter of fact, did you hear the little joke that's going around right now? Why did God give us time? So everything wouldn't happen at once. Isn't that profound? Anyhow, man's presence is very local. We can be at one place at one time only. And that is local in a very strict sense. We are not even present and therefore knowledgeable at what is going on outside those doors. The doors cut off our presence and make it very, very local. However, God has made some beings that are not omnipresent, but they are ubiquitous. U-B-I-Q-U-I-T-O-U-S. Local means man may be present at one place. Ubiquitous means that man, or that certain beings may be at any place. And if we'd summarize, God is present at every place. Every place, one place, any place. Look at Job 1, 6, and 7. And we have the biblical truth about angels and about Satan. Satan is not omnipresent. Satan is ubiquitous. He can be present anywhere at any time, but only one place. For example, Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And notice the question, "From where?" They came to a place, "From where did you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming around on the earth and walking around on it." They were in France, they were in Italy, they were in Germany, they were in the United States. But they were not everywhere at one time. So, in regard to the presence of God and His creatures, we have three descriptive words. Every, one, and any. God is present everywhere. Man is present one place. Angels can be present in a ubiquitous sense, or they can be present anywhere. Now, let's take that idea, especially about the presence of God, and associate it with several passages. Jeremiah 23. And notice this is speaking of the presence of God in the sense that He is everywhere, not anywhere, not local, but everywhere. "Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him?" And that's a rhetorical question. And the answer, of course, is no. "So I do not see him, declares the Lord. Do not I fill the heavens and the earth? declares the Lord. And there are several descriptions of the omnipresence of God. And one of them here is, do not I fill heaven and earth? God is omnipresent. His essence is present everywhere. Look at Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me, and where is a place that I may rest? Now this introduces a problem in the omnipresence of God. And that is two sets of passages, one that says he is everywhere, one that says he is local. And as a believer, I would ask you to explain the omnipresence of God in light of the fact that you say, as a believer, where is the Holy Spirit in relationship to you? He dwells in you. Well, doesn't that localize God? Doesn't that put him in a place? Doesn't that limit him in terms of space? And look at a first passage. Well, let's see. Let's look at two and put them together. Let's look at Psalm 113:5. Oh, better yet, let's use the passages we have just used. And let's use Isaiah 66, verse 1, and Jeremiah 23:23-24, which have clearly taught that God is present everywhere. Now, what do you do with this? Exodus 25. We have read two passages that relate to the fact that God is present everywhere, but what about this? In chapter 25, the tabernacle has been constructed, and the ark has been made. And as you know, the ark was simply a box, and over it were two cherubim. Those are cherubim. And they overlooked this, the mercy seat. And right here, right there, locally, was God. Is God present everywhere, or is God present only one place? For example, reading from Exodus 25:21. God says, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give to you. And there, that's a space word, isn't it? There. Not out in the Holy of Holies, not anywhere in the camp, and there I will meet from you, from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim. Notice these are all spatial terms, from between the two cherubim which are on the Ark of the Testimony. And I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of the Lord. So God's presence is here, localized. In the New Testament, if any man have not the Spirit of God, have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. We are told that we are the what of God? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, which we have of God. He dwells in his temple. Where is God? Is God everywhere, or is God in a place? The Lord, the Old Testament says, is in his holy place. The Lord was present at the altar. Now, how do we reconcile the fact that Scripture says two things? And by the way, one is no less clear than the other, is it? We haven't done by any means all of the passages, but can we prove that God is everywhere? Heaven and earth cannot hold Him. He is everywhere. And we can teach that from the Word of God. Can we also teach from the Word of God that He dwells in the temple? That He dwells at the, or dwelled at the ark? Can we deny that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, what do we mean? I think two words describe it. God is everywhere spatially. You may describe God in a spatial sense. You may also describe God in a local sense. Or, let me give you another word, a functional sense. God is omnipresent in a spatial sense. He is everywhere. But the Word of God also takes His presence and uses it in a functional sense. Now, push me. Are those good words? I thought about the two words for a long time, spatial and functional, to describe these two biblical phenomena. Anyone got a better word? It's also possible to change this from functional to, how about relational? God is in a place relationally. He relates to me as my Savior. He relates to me by saying, I live in you. Are there better words? There's some words that take time to sink in. You hear them, and then you've got to think about them and let them soak in. And I think on the attributes of God, this is one of them. God is everywhere in terms of space. And I personally like that descriptive word. He is everywhere in terms of space, but He is local in terms of function. He does things locally that are expressed as being what? His presence. So both are His presence, but presence in two senses of the word. Okay, now I want to get feedback on this if I can. Do you see what we're saying? Where do we begin? We begin with all those passages that deal with the presence of God. And as you read through them, where He says, heaven and earth cannot hold me, then you turn and say, I will meet you there at that place. You couldn't meet the God of Israel out in the courtyard of the temple. You had to meet Him at the place where He designated His presence. Some people say spatial and designated. That doesn't do a whole lot for me, does it for you? Special and designated? I think it's better to say functional. And if you're looking still at the passage in front of us, why do I think that functional is good? Reading the verse again. And there, at a place, I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, what's functional here? I will speak to you about all I want you to know. This is a functional presence of God. Now, the interesting thing in looking at both of these, and I'm not getting any feedback, so I take it that I've been crystal clear, God is present spatially everywhere. God is present locally in a functional sense. Do you ever think, then, incorrectly about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit being spatial? I think lots of Christians do. The Holy Spirit, in a spatial sense, is present in me, but He's not present over there. Now, what does that do? That does great damage to omnipresence, doesn't it? To say, I'm sitting here, and the Holy Spirit is resident in me. My friend is not a believer, and therefore the Holy Spirit is not present in them. Well, that's not the way the presence of the Holy Spirit is. He's present in me for function. He's present everywhere. But in me for the function of fellowship, for the function of salvation. But God is in the fullest sense present everywhere. By the way, did you know much of church history? You've heard of the Council, for example, of Trent. And what they would do at those councils is something we ought to know. They would say, is Christ deity? And they would take all of the passages. They would meet for weeks. And they would literally argue over words. Does this word adequately express the biblical idea, or does it not? And they many times would come up with many words, and they'd debate them and say, no, if we use that word, we've got a hole over here. If we use this word, we've got a hole over here. This is exactly the word. You know one of the major things they did that with? They went through all these passages that talked about God the Father being God, fully deity, God the Son being fully deity, God the Holy Spirit being fully deity, but they said, wait a minute, how many gods have we? One. The Lord your God is one. And they were faced with Scripture, and in order for it to make sense, they had to think. Okay, now with the idea of the presence of God, let's put it together in, I believe, one passage. 1 Kings 8. Oh, by the way, when they got together and they thought and they worked with words to see the one that would fit, it's just like the insanity that goes on at the Rowe House, at the Macaulay House every morning. I don't even speak on Sunday mornings when I get it. I am completely dressed before I say much of one word because Betty is working the crossword puzzle. And you know, this can't be a five-letter word. I thought it was. But five letters don't fit. It's got to be only four. And you work and work and work until you get the word. And at that council, they said, well, all of the persons are deity, and yet there's only one God. And so they came up with what I believe is a beautiful word, and it's a word that you know. It's a perfect word. God is a tri-unity or trinity. That simply means unity in three. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? Each one is God, but there's only one God? A tri-unity? People that have a difficulty with the tri-unity have got a difficulty with one of the most beautiful words, expressive words ever spoken. And I know it's not spoken in the Bible. I know it's not there. But is the concept there? And the concept is very much there. There is one God unity. But there are three persons that have the full essence of God. So there is a tri-unity. Beautiful, beautiful word. And many of the church councils in church history have taken the time to get together for weeks. And they say, we've got this concept. How are we going to say it correctly? And how are we going to express it in easy-to-understand terms? Okay, and I don't mean to get just theological. I have, because this is theology. But what's wrong with theology? The truth or the teaching about God. What's wrong with that? That's a very, very good subject. And we should add one other thing. The presence of God is always spoken of in a practical sense. And let's move to that. The first evidence of man after the fall, his nature, was to ignore omnipresence. What is the first thing that fallen man did? He wiped out of his theology, out of his world view, the omnipresence of God. It's the first thing he forgot. Look, for example, at Genesis 3, verse 8. And we want to look at two places that talk about the fallen man tends to ignore the presence of God. What a dumb question. This is what you did? Does anybody know? Oh, come on. The God of the universe knows everything about it. It's a very practical concept. Look at Genesis 3:8. You're familiar with the verse. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Number one, does this deny omnipresence? God is walking in a garden. Hope nothing happens on Mars while he's away. Doesn't deny that, does it? It gives our two senses of omnipresence. God was walking in the garden in the cool of day. Functionally, what function did he want? Fellowship. But notice on the man side. And the man and his wife, the first evidence of human insanity, hid themselves from the presence of God. You can hide from omnipresence, right? No way. That is the delusion of man. Look at Job 24. And Job describes a very common action and the kind of thinking that can obscure the presence of God and does reject the presence of God. Chapter 24, verse 14. The murderer arises at dawn. He kills the poor and the needy. And at night he is a thief. And the eye of the adulterer waits for twilight, saying, no one will see me. He disguises his face. In the dark they dig into houses. They shut themselves up by day. They do not know the light. For the morning is the same to him as thick darkness. For he is familiar with the terrors of a thick darkness. Night hides God. That's part of human insanity. The first evidence of sin was to ignore the presence of God. On the other hand, recognition of the presence of God is the antidote to fear. Isaiah 43:2. What a wonderful promise taken off of the idea of the presence of God. Chapter 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And the idea is through all of these things, what? I will be with you. And if you think this is simple thinking, I would turn your minds to the fear mongers that we have had to put up with in the last few months. The radio preachers who are I cannot say enough, disgust for these blank fools. I don't care who they are. Jim Dobson did it. James Kennedy did it. Scared the wits out of us, didn't they? Over Y2K. And I am not afraid to say that is not preaching the Word of God, because God says, probably more than anything else, fear not. Fear not. Have you heard it before in the Bible? Fear not. Why? For I am with you. Of course, the good thing is they're all going to give you a refund on the food you bought from them. They are going to give you a refund on their book of bunk that they sold by the millions. No, they're crooks. They'll just sing away all the way to the bank. And it is so simple. I don't care what happens on this earth. Is there anything we are to fear? You tell me. What does the Bible say in the light of the presence of God with His children? We have nothing, 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 nothing to fear, and we ought to live that way. And I hope the non-Christian world will let us forget this one, because most of it has come from evangelical preachers, has it not? You don't see a panic in the world. But who is heading for the hills? Only the stupid evangelical that waves the Bible, if he only knew it. If he only believed it. And therefore, omnipresence of God is a tremendously important thing. We looked at that. Look at Haggai 2, 3, and 4. We got a couple of minutes. Haggai 2, 3, and 4. First of the minor prophets, Haggai 2, 3, and 4. Take courage, for I am with you. And you might add, though we'll not turn to it, Job 31, 4, does he not see my ways and number all my steps? God is forever present with his people. And may I add one practical note to that. In Psalm 23, the Lord says to his people, I am with you. We often will come on a tragic scene and we'll say, well, I need to go see them at the hospital and I don't know what to say. Well, that's easy. You don't need to say anything. Just do it like God does it. Be there. Just be there. Words are not necessary. The presence of the Lord is the important thing. Next hour, we will pick up with omnipotence, and there are cards available for that. Father, we're thankful for your word and your truth. We're thankful for your presence, that you are truly with us. You're in us for fellowship, for salvation. How we thank you that nothing can disturb the man whose mind is stayed on thee. In Christ's name, amen.